So again, let us hold fast the profession of our faith, our confession. What is our confession? Jesus Christ, the Lord, his resurrection from the dead, his sacrifice, atonement, etc. Without wavering, let us not waver. He is faithful, the promised. He promised us, he is faithful. Notice, the promises keep coming up. The passage I quoted from 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. You know, having these promises, let us do this. And what did Peter say? Having great and precious promises, right? That by these we may be partakers of the divine nature, and his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He has purged us from our old sins. We have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust by this power of his, by these promises of his, because his promises are what tell us, oh, you can be free from these things. Oh, if the biggest promise of God is this, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I mean, that sums it all up. That is here's the summation of the gospel. Actually, this is a very good summation of the gospel. Just the good news without any details, but with the most important factors. Whosoever commits sin, out of the words and mouth of Jesus Christ, whoever commits sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And I explained that a chapter or two back in detail. That is the promise. The Son shall make you free. If you commit sin, you serve sin. Freedom from sin is what it means to be free. It is not freedom to be in Romans 7 land where I want to be free, but I can't. I can't do it. Every time I want to do right, I don't do right. That's not freedom. That's bondage. Paul was describing the servant of sin, the slave of sin. And I tell you, Paul was no slave to sin, but he was reiterating in Romans 7 the experience of one under the law. And if you go and listen to my study on Romans 5, 6, and 7, you will see. If you need someone to assist you, I'm more than happy to, because it is the truth. And if you're angry against the truth, you have an evil conscience. Verse 24 and 25. And let us consider one another. To provoke one another to good works. I already read these. Yeah. Let's provoke one another to good works. What do you think I'm trying to do? I'm trying to provoke you to good works. To the works of God. Let's not forsake assembling of ourselves together. This is the favorite verse of people who like to herd you into church. You know, go to church. Be a church. I tell you what, you can be in church and you have forsaken the assembling of yourselves together. Because to what purpose do you come together? You know, I think of Isaiah chapter 1. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me? I am full. I'll tell you what. To what purpose is the multitude of your songs to me? To what purpose is the multitude of your preaching to me? To what purpose is the multitude of your offerings to me? To what purpose? What purpose are you coming together for? For what purpose? Well, we come to satisfy God. Right? I come to learn, okay. But you could do that at home, you know. Coming together is about being knit together in a body, about being in the Lord, which is not just mystical and ethereal and spiritual out there somewhere, like in space or in the mind or in the spirit. It is to be in Him. Meaning, I come together with you. Let us talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. How is your walk going? Let me tell you about my walk. All right, let's hear about his walk. Let's, blah, 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 you know, what have we, you know, any new word, anything new learned, anything to talk about. I could talk about the same things over and over again, and I get excited about it over and over again. Look it, I'm almost at the end of the New Testament. I'm still just as excited about these things as I was at the beginning. When I fellowship with people, I can put them all under the table. Just as I did when I was a drinker. I could drink them under the table. I can fellowship them under the table. Because I love it. And I'm not, and this is maybe foolish boasting, and it is foolish. I'm not boasting. What I'm saying is, come together for the purpose for which you were called. Come together for the election of God. Come together for the Word of God. Come together for a good purpose. Not merely to come together. Oh, we gathered together, we gathered together, we gathered together. And then we gathered together some more, and we ate, and we drank, and we made merry. And what do? They, oh, what purpose is the multitude of your Sunday brunches to me? We had Sunday brunch. Oh, what'd you talk about? Well, Billy had new mud flaps, and Johnny's doing well in school. Susie is, Susie's got a new boyfriend. And, Mrs. Smith, needs a new, radiator on her car. And I found out for the first time that Uncle George is coming for next week. And certainly, there were many other things we talked about in our fellowship. Oh, and we also talked about the latest movies. And we also talked about the latest TV shows. And we also talked about blah, blah, blah. We talked about a bunch of worldly, worthless nothing. And Christ's body was there. The body and blood of Christ was right there, and you didn't discern it. I tell you, they drink and eat damnation to themselves in their Sunday brunches and their potluck dinners. They eat and drink damnation. They do not discern his body. It is damnation to them. How were things with you? Blah, 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 blah. And the Lord is... It's like Jesus is there, sitting at a table all alone. Nobody wants anything to do with him. No one wants to talk about him, talk with him, speak to him. All they want to do is talk about their stinking lives. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves. The assembly is a barren wasteland of forsakenness and of desolateness and of barrenness and of worthlessness. That is what I see in many places where I've been. I see barrenness. And even among some of the best places, there's a lot of wilderness. Just little pockets here and there. One or two. You know, there were gleaning grapes. The prophet Isaiah. I can't wait to do Isaiah. There were gleaning grapes. One or two or three or four little bunches in the topmost branches. There was left a few grapes in a giant tree. Or a giant vine, okay? And if you didn't understand that, then let the Holy Ghost guide you and you will find. Exhort one another. I just.